Have you ever been in a situation or stood before something going on in your lives and thought, that's it. It's over. Nothing can be done. It's hopeless. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was a diagnosis. Maybe it was a mistake that you cannot undo. The cross looked like that, didn't it? The cross seems final, brutal, certain. The tomb looked like that, sealed, silent, finished. But Easter says that God is not finished. And that's what we celebrate this morning. But before we get to the empty tomb, we need to understand something. We need to understand that this victory that we're remembering today, God was telling that story, has been telling that story all along. We started out in Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah 31 and verses 1 through 6, and see how God speaks there. He doesn't wait for things to improve. He's not holding back and see what's going to happen. He speaks into ruins. He speaks into pain. He says, I have loved you. Not, I will love you. I'm going to love you. I have loved you. Again, I will build you. Again, you shall plant. God is describing a future unlike anything that anyone has ever seen. But all along, Easter was in his sights. In Jeremiah and Isaiah and the prophets, he knew. And knew that his working was what was going to do it and make it so. It's like planting seeds in the winter. Everything looks dead, barren, bland, but there's something going on underneath and then the sprouts. It's happening beneath the surface. Good Friday was a seed planted in ground and everything looks like it's dead. But Easter is the plant breaking through from all the work that God has been doing all along. Some of you here today may feel like nothing is changing. You may feel like there's no hope. You may feel like this is the end, or nothing can be done. But in that place, in that Good Friday sort of a place, God is there. I mentioned last week, I think, and this week too, this whole theme we've seen from the lectionary themes in Lent has been this idea of the presence of God, that God is with you. He's not absent. He is working. He is always working. We may not feel it. We may not see it immediately. Like a seed planted, we don't see it. But God is there, is working, is with you. God promises that. Even if we don't see. You know? But even sometimes what God promises, we look at them, it may not seem like it's happening. In fact, sometimes it seems like everything has gone wrong. It seems like in spite of what we think God has shown us or told us or any of it, it goes sideways. But God reverses what looks like defeat. We see that in this psalm today, right? There's a line in there, famous, common, we know well. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. What people threw away, God built everything upon. The cross looked like a failure. Public, humiliating, final. And in the great irony of God's economy, resurrection declares that that was never a failure. What looked like failure was really the path to victory, what looked like hopelessness, was really the hope of the entire world. It was a foundation. It was something that God has been building all along. It'd be like, think of someone getting cut from a sports team. I was remembering this morning even again, you know, so you know, Michael Jordan, heard of Michael Jordan? He's a basketball player. And when he was in 10th grade, 1978, he was a scrawny 5'11" kid who just loved to play basketball. And all he wanted to do was play basketball. And he was cut from varsity. He said, you know, not this year, kid. You're on JV. And you look it up, and he was kind of devastated by it. It was hard for him. He wanted to play so badly. And I guess, you know, I guess he did very well in JV. So well, in fact, he thought that he begged his coach to allow him to be with the team then, be on that varsity team when they went to the district tournament. And the coach said, no. If you want to come along with us, you'll have to be the guy that carries the uniforms. And he did. And his parents came thinking maybe he was going to suit up and play, and he didn't. But that is not the end of the story, is it? 5'11 became 6'3. 6'3 became 6'6. What for others might drive them to despair spurred him on to work all the harder, and by some folks' account, became the greatest basketball player who's ever lived. It may seem like it's defeat. It may seem like there's no hope. It may seem like you're overlooked or dismissed, like Jesus was at the cross. But what was rejected became essential. What was seen as final became the key to life itself. Some of you, probably most of us, have moments in our life we wish we could erase. Things we've done, things we've said, paths we've gone down, choices we've made. But God is able. He is in the business of taking what feels like rejection, what feels and seems like hopelessness and finality, and turn it into redemption. That is all of our stories. In one way or another, to come to Jesus is to see the hopelessness of our sin and accept the beauty and victory that is in Christ. This awful, violent picture of Good Friday was a necessary part of the plan. And God was in it all along. Now, if that is true about Jesus, I mean, his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection, if that is true for Jesus, then Easter, what we celebrate today, isn't just about him. It's about us also. It's about what happens to us as we're in Christ. Colossians verses are so wonderful. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Set your minds on what is above, not on things of earth. And it says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. God raises us into a new identity, right? Not that you will be raised, okay? You are raised with Christ. It's now. You have been raised. It's not just a future hope. Resurrection for us is a present reality. It is what we live in right now. You have died. That old identity, the old way, the old shame, the old labels, the old hopelessness, the old pain, the old struggle is dead. It does not define who you are. It may seem like those things have the victory. But Easter tells us they do not. And we live in that. We are defined by what Christ did for us, and not what this world shows us. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. That means security. That means we are covered. We are held. It's like someone just taking on an entirely new identity. You know, I think in some ways it is a little like Michael Jordan, right? Skinny 5'11" kid all of a sudden in a few years is transformed into the greatest basketball player in the history of the world. He took on a new identity. He didn't let what others told him define him. And so in Christ, as we celebrate this victory, as we accept and believe, you are not who you used to be. Whatever hopelessness you feel, mistakes you've made that you think cannot be fixed, you are not who you used to be. You are not your worst moment. You are not your past. If you are in Christ, your life is new. Resurrection is our life today. But this resurrection life doesn't, shouldn't be hidden. Resurrection life moves, it speaks, it goes. It's alive. And we saw in our readings in Matthew and in Acts that God sends us to tell a story. We saw in the Matthew account that women came to the tomb afraid. They're still in Good Friday mode, thinking this was the end, thinking death had won. And they left after showing up there with fear, but with great joy. And what did they do? They ran. They didn't have anything figured out, did they? Jesus is alive. He's risen. Okay. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what's going on, but I got to tell somebody. And they ran. They didn't have a sermon prepared. They didn't have to take a class to figure out how to share this with those around them. They had a simple message. He's risen. You won't believe this. He's risen. It's crazy, I know, but I saw him. Peter the denier, Peter the coward, does the same thing. He stands up and tells what he has seen. And the message was, he is risen. Death is not won. And if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. When something amazing happens, you don't keep it quiet. When a baby is born, when someone survives a surgery, when you're promoted, when you graduate, all these good things that can happen, we tell people. It's fun. That kind of makes it better. You call, you text, you share. Good news moves. And we have the best news. Resurrection. He is risen. He's risen indeed. And I think, and I've said this before, but I think we try to overthink and complicate what evangelism is. We have new life. Show people. Tell them the reason for your hope. Tell them that there is a resurrection. Jesus is alive and you can be too. You don't need perfect words. But you do need something very, very important. You need an encounter. To tell someone that Jesus is raised from the dead, you need to know that Jesus is raised from the dead. You need to have experienced him. You need to have his spirit open your hearts and your eyes and accept him and believe. And if that's happened, You have everything to share and no fear to be able to share it. Easter leaves us with a question. Well, probably several, but one is, what is in your life today that you have declared finished, that you have declared or feel is done, hopeless, nothing to be done about it? What in your life might you have where you say it's too late? I'm too far gone. Even if I did think I could change, people would never accept me because they've always seen who I am. And they won't believe me. Easter shatters those things. God promised life. God reversed death. God raised you. And now God sends you. He wants people to know, and you have all of it. And the best part is that, in some ways, we don't have to do much of anything. You know, it's like a door. If you're locked in a room, and there's a door there, but there's no handle. And no matter how hard you push, no matter how hard you try, you can't get out. Somebody has to open it from the other side, and that was what God has done. That door of death was one that we cannot open, that we cannot get out of. But on Easter, Jesus did. On Easter, he opened the door from the other side and said, this is not an issue anymore. Death is defeated. Jesus didn't rise to decorate your life to give you something nice to be able to say. He rose to open a door that you could never open, to save us who cannot save ourselves. He came and rose again to be changed. He came and was resurrected so that we can be resurrected. The tomb is empty. And that means your future is not. Jesus walked out of that grave so that you do not have to stay in yours. That grave that's coming in our future. And some of the graves that we try to stand in today. And Easter declares that God gets the final word. On Friday, the enemy may have thought I've won. May have thought, ha! What's God going to do now? But God gets the final word. And that word is life. Resurrected life. Now, here, today, it's available for you, it's available for me, it's available for all of them. And that's what we truly need, it's what we truly desire when we get right down to it. So as we celebrate Easter, let's celebrate that life and share that life, our life, with those who need it. And remember, he is risen indeed. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for Easter. Thank you that death does not have the final word. And Lord, I pray and ask that as we carry on this earth, that we could and would, as Paul suggests to us, to think on the things that are above and not the things of this earth. To not be overwhelmed by the thought of death or hopelessness, but to live in the resurrected life that is in Jesus here today, right here, and right now. Thank you for that life, God. Thank you for saving us. Be with us, Lord. Guide us. Help us to share with someone, even today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you on this Easter Sunday. Enjoy your families. It's good to be together. Thank you.